thank you, Jesus. I love the feel that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't it wonderful to be in the presence of Almighty God? Wow. We began a series last week how love works. And in the beginning, we said that it came from John 3, verse 16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave, everyone say gave. Is there an action to that? Yes, there is. Praise God. There's an action that he gave. Thank you, Jesus. He gave his only begotten Son so that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have what? Eternal life. God did not send his Son to the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Last week we also talked about the difference between Adam who sinned, and through one man's sin, death reigned. And then we talk about Jesus, who was the other one that came, praise God, because God gave his only begotten Son, and there was a total difference, total change, a total contrast. Now God's wonderful grace rules instead, praise God. We read from Romans chapter 5, the second part of verse 5b says, for we know. Everyone say, for we know. Well, that's, how did you know that? For God, he loved, praise God. God gave us something which we have received. It's something you receive. It's something that you, I used to say to my kids that you know and you're knower. You know and you're knower. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We know how God dearly loves us because he has given us his Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Praise God. Isn't that good news? Turn to your neighbor and say, that's good news. Because there's something within us. When you accept Christ Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, He not only does he save us from our sins, but he gives us his Spirit that bears witness that we go, yes, there's something within us. There's something there that we belong to God. There's something that witness. It's wonderful, praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, that witness is wonderful. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. His witness is wonderful. It's not... It's something that you know and you're knower, that God loves us. And what happens is because he loves us, he gave his Son, but he wanted us to know, not just in words. It's not once something that we read in the Bible, but it's something that we actually have. We actually have the Holy, he's given us his Holy Spirit when we are, Bible talks about being born again. Seems to me there's a scripture that says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. A new creature is not a tadpole and a frog. I'll tell you what a new creature is, a tadpole and an eagle. There's a real difference there. New species of being. When you read the Greeks, a new species of being. Something like it that had never existed before. You're a new species. Praise God, when you receive Christ as your Savior. If you were here, you don't know Jesus, smartest thing you can do. Smartest thing you can do is give your life. Just surrender it to Jesus. Glory to God. And he'll turn you into a new species like you look at yourself later and go, whoa, that's totally new. Praise God. You see, humans, John 3 says, humans can only reproduce only human life. But the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. So when we are born again, we of necessity have to have the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm just talking about receiving the Spirit. Every person that receives Christ as Savior receives the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And that's good news, because that Spirit within us bears witness, gives the witness to us that we're, yes, I'm a son, I'm a daughter of God. So that's how the Holy Spirit works for us. This is part two of a five-part message of how the Holy Spirit works for us. Now, there are some things that the Holy Spirit does for us that is really quite awesome. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit not only gives us witness that we are His, but the Holy Spirit also guides our lives. Galatians 5 says it like this. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what the sinful nature craves. Paul the Apostle says, the things I don't want to do, I do. And the things that I really want to do, I don't do. That's the war. That's like one lady said it like this. She says, I feel like I got two dogs in me. One that wants to do right and one that does wrong, wants to do wrong. Well, which one do you want to reign in your life? We have the witness, but we of necessity every day need to submit our lives to the Holy Spirit. He guides us into what's right. That's how He works for us. Thank you, Jesus. That's how He works for us. And there in Galatians 5, it also says, so let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Let. That tells me that this life is not one that we can run on our own. If God is going to work for us, somebody says, I try and be kind. But I got to tell you, you cannot be kind on your own. None of us can. We try with all of our heart, with all of our might. We try. There are some people that just seem to be naturally loving and kind. But you know what? They still do wrong. There still must be a surrender to the things of God. Let the Holy Spirit. You want the Holy Spirit to work for you? See, love always works. It always works. He wants to work in our life. He wants to work as He works in our life. He works for us to guide us, to lead us into paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Galatians 5:22 says some really interesting things. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. The first one is love. I realize we are talking about the Holy Spirit working for us. But in working for us, He works in us. And He produces. Go ahead and tell your neighbor, He produces. Now tell your neighbor, I need that in my life, and I hope you do too. Glory to God. I hope you're looking for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He wants to produce. He wants to produce in our lives. The fruit of love goes on to say joy, peace, patience, kindness. Ooh, did I just say kindness? He's working for us. Yeah, so I get that. He's working in us, but He's working for us. And how He works for us is that we show forth kindness. It's almost like that we're in partnership with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. I love that partnership. It takes the, doesn't make me, I don't have to do, it's not works of righteousness which we have done. It takes the struggle, my self-struggle, out of this Christian life. I know the scripture says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I realize that. But the Holy Spirit will always desire to work for us. But as He's working for us, He's working in us at the same time. He's working His fruit in our lives. That's how He's working for us. Because actually, it's not just so that we can feel good. Oh yes, I have the love of God. I have the peace of God. But what is that for? To demonstrate to others that you are God's child, and to demonstrate to others the love of God. And in the process, God's working for you. You see? Yes. Matter of fact, He's not only working for you, but it goes on to say, I better read the rest, because there's kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Did I just say gentleness? I know my mom, she asked the Lord for patience, and she got me. Bible says a tribulation works patience. I was my mom's tribulation. I would say I wasn't my mom's worst nightmare, but I was close. And, you know, it's interesting how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. We're interested. We're always looking for the easy road, aren't we? When you gather these fruits of the Spirit, they often come through a resistance of some kind. Oh, Pastor Ron, the Holy Spirit doesn't work that way. Oh, yes, He does. Do you remember, I think it's in Luke chapter 4, where the Bible says that Jesus was filled with the Spirit. And right in that verse it says that He was led into the wilderness to be tempted. Isn't that a comfortable spot to be in? That's how the Holy Spirit works. He works with pressure. We think we want the easy way. Jesus did say, and you've heard me say this many times, Jesus said that tribulations will come. He also said offenses will come. When you come to Christ Jesus, sometimes people think that the Christian life is a bed of roses. Everything's going to be smooth. I got to tell you something. In a bed of roses, there are thorns. Mm-hmm. I see heads going like this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because there's always struggle. There's always resistance. Jesus said, you know, tribulation, there's going to be persecution and things that are going to come. Whether you're with your friends, and there are times that you think you're amongst enemies because there's pressure there. There's resistance. They don't think like you. They don't act like you. But actually, when you are living and walking in the Spirit of God, your reactions become different than when they were before you come to Christ. You want to know how the Holy Spirit works for you? The Bible says He is our helper. You know how big that is? Have a helper. You know your attacks that you go through sometimes? I tell you what. There are times my wife is very busy. So what do? I go and I empty out the dishwasher. And I'll put the, yes, I do. There's times I even do the dishes, guys. There's times that I'll pick up the vacuum cleaner. And you know what? I'll do a little bit of vacuum. We don't have many rugs in the house, so praise God for that. The vacuum is not huge. But you know what? I've become her helper. Do you know that in the daily experiences of life in this journey, that the Holy Spirit desires to come alongside and be your helper. That's how He works for us. He wants to be. He delights in being our helper. And He just delights it when we say, Holy Spirit, I need Your help in this. This thing's just biting me. Somebody just ticked me. And I'm not sure how I'm to respond. Yet the Bible tells us that when somebody is persecuting us, and the Bible, in fact, they're saying all manner of evil against you falsely, the Bible says we're supposed to pray for them. We're supposed to love them. Doesn't that bite? Because we want to do something so totally different. You see, we want to be vengeful. But that is not the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, God says it like this. Vengeance is mine. God says, I will repay. Well, I used to teach on that verse, given it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give in your bosom. And one day I was reading the context of that scripture, discovered it had little to do with money. I know, pastors and preachers and other teachers will use that scripture in regards to giving money. I totally get that. I do, because there are other references in the Bible that have to talk about that. But in that particular portion of scripture, given it shall be given unto you, talks about the way we treat people. My boys were in the back seat, never forget this, and I've told some of this story before. But my boys were in the back seat and they were fighting. And the one, I mean, that was quite a little fight. On the way to church, mind you. When you think things would be going smooth. There's not supposed to be any ruckus when you're going to church. But maybe you don't have a ruckus when you come to church. But sometimes it happens. It happens in our home once in a while. And my boys just going at one another. And I said, boys, you know that's not the Bible. No, Daddy says, but the Bible says, do unto others as you would have them do to you. So I'm doing to him. Wow. But the fruit of the Spirit. Everyone say fruit of the Spirit. Begins with love. Praise God. Gentleness. He's towards the end of the verse or that particular portion. It says faithfulness, gentleness, and here's a big one. Self-control. There is no law against these things. Verse 24 says, and those who belong to Christ have nailed their passions and desires of sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading. Let us follow the Spirit's leading. How does He work for us? He's talking to us as our helper, as our strength, as our guide. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And He desires to lead us. We follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Verse 26, and let's not become conceited or provoke one another or to be jealous of one another. I got to tell you something. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. When do we do this? The Holy Spirit is like a person who has feelings. He does. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. Some translations actually say that, grieve not the Holy Spirit, but don't stifle the Holy Spirit. He wants to work in you. He wants to work for you. Well, okay, I get that, Pastor Ron. But what is to be my response to Him working in my life so that He can work for me? What is to be? I'm so glad you asked. That's a great question. Praise God. Thank you for that question. Because I think it's a beauty. Do you know, and I'm going to say it like this. In Acts chapter 8, there is a story of a man who the scripture says is Philip. Now, Philip isn't an evangelist. And the Holy Spirit said. And the Holy Spirit said. That means he's talking. How many have ever heard the voice of the Holy Spirit? Whether it's in your hearing, whether it's an audible voice, I've had friends that have actually heard the audible voice. But you know what? It can't be most of the time. It's an inward voice. I'm not sure that it's just conscience, because my conscience can say one thing, and sometimes the Holy Spirit will challenge that conscience until I submit to what His will is. The Holy Spirit said. Holy Spirit wants to talk with us. He wants to work in us first, but He wants to work for us. Not so that we can look good. It's not about us. It's about glorifying the Father. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go and, what does your Bible say? Go and, you can see it up on the screen. Go over there and walk along beside a carriage. Ethiopian eunuch was on his way from one place, and he was going to another place, and he had the scripture open. But here's what the Holy Spirit said to Philip. Go over and walk along beside the carriage. Now, we would have no problem with walking. But I want to share with you the response of Philip. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Philip ran. You see it? Philip ran. I saw that and I said, what a wonderful response. The Spirit wants him to walk alongside, but maybe that carriage was going a little bit faster than a walk. It wasn't just one of these fast walker guys. The Bible says, Philip ran. What a response to the Holy to what the Holy Spirit's asked of him. You say, well, he wasn't obedient. He's supposed to be walking. But maybe that carriage was going a little bit fast. Maybe. At any rate, wherever Philip was, when the Holy Spirit began to speak to him, the Holy Spirit wanted him to walk over to this man that was seeking God. So the Lord says to you, you're at Tim's, say, go over and sit down with that person. You have a fight with them. We all do it. Well, Lord, you know. I don't really know that fella or that woman. I just don't feel capable. I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel any kind of leading. Just a minute. I have to ask the Lord. Well, you just heard from the Lord. Sometimes we're trying to second guess what we just heard. Oh, that can't be God. No, that can't be God. But Philip didn't even question it. It was the immediate response was, I'm going to run. Now I'm going to ask you a question. The Holy Spirit is here speaking to us. What is your response to Him? If it's salvation you need, the Lord is talking to you to receive Him. Maybe you say, I need His leading. I need to hear Him more. Okay? You need to hear Him more. Maybe a good place to start is reading His Word. That Bible that you've received, by the way, is like a roadmap. If I want to go to Toronto, I use a GPS. I have a a guidance positioning system. But the Bible is a guidance positioning system. It's God's to position you so that He can get glory and honor. Sometimes we're worried about what we're going to look like instead of what He is going to look like to bring honor and glory to Him. And sometimes you don't even have to say much. God would say, go over there and sit. And you sitting there, well, this is fruitful. We're not really getting anywhere, not really talking. Just being obedient to Him, to His voice, is drawing you into that place of obedience and being a servant. God will work for you to change your life from glory to glory, line upon line, precept upon precept. He desires to change you. He desires to work for you in that He wants to display Himself through you. If God be for you, the Bible says, who can be against you? Who is it that can lay stuff to your charge? It's not God. He's provided a way of atonement for you. Thank you, Jesus. But what's your response going to be? Well, I'm going to second guess myself and just walk. Or are you going to run to warn? Are you going to run and do what He's asked you to do immediately? You know what happens? Paul goes alongside that carriage. He finds out what the man is reading. Do you understand what you're reading? He didn't know what he was going to say until he got there. Only instruction he had was go walk. He runs, and while he's in action, he begins to find out this guy just wants to find out about God. I don't understand this. It's from the prophet Isaiah. I don't understand it all. I need somebody to explain it. Can you explain that? Why? Certainly, Philip says. He gets himself in that. I hope that carriage slowed down some. That'd be a hard get on. Praise God. But he gets on that thing and he begins to explain about that scripture. That man had no insight in the beginning. And that man came to faith. Thank you, Jesus. God wants to work for you. He'll first work in you. There'll be pressures that come, yes. There'll be stuff that seem to be resistance. But as you are obedient to Him, He'll change your life. And at the same time, work that thing out for you and for His glory. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You for Your word. It's forever settled in heaven. But yes, oh God, we need Your word in us. But even more, we need to work, You to work for us. In Jesus' name, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Oh, let Him have those things that hold you, and His Spirit like a dove will descend upon your life and make you whole. Jesus, Jesus, come and fill your lamp. Jesus, Jesus. come and sing the song with gladness, as your hearts are filled with joy. Lift your hands in sweet surrender to His name. Oh, give Him all your tears and sadness. Give Him all your years of pain, and you'll enter into life in Jesus' name. Jesus, Jesus, come and fill your man. Jesus, Jesus, come and fill your land. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Invite you to stand, please. This chorus says, Jesus, come and fill. If that is your prayer, why not raise your hands and surrender to Him? You want more of God. Maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I'd love to talk with you after and help you come to Him. But why not surrender? Surrender to Him. Surrender to His purpose. Surrender to the things He wants to do in your life. Surrender to Him so that He can lead you in paths of righteousness for His sake. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Invite Him to fill your life, fill all those spaces, fill all those places in your life. Jesus, Jesus. And fill your lamps, Jesus, Jesus, come and fill your lamps. Oh, come and sing this song with gladness, as your hearts are filled with joy. Lift your hands in sweet surrender to His name. Oh, give Him all your heart and tears and sadness. Give Him all your years of pain, and you'll enter into life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Shannon, would you come and close? Thank you, Jesus.
His love never fails, never runs out, never gives up on me. Thank you, Lord. Many of us do have tears of sadness and years of pain. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us.
Yeah.
Thank you. We can cast all of our cares on you.
Yeah.
You care for us.
Yes.
And you give us your Holy Spirit. I don't have to do this alone. I don't have to try alone. Thank you, Father. I pray, Father, you would just plant that in our hearts today, that we are not alone and we do not have to work this alone. That Holy Spirit, you will come. You will come. You will come and help us. You will lead us. You will work in us. You will heal us, Lord, so that we can respond and we can touch others and we can serve you in freedom and joy. And joy. Oh, just implant that in our hearts today, God, in our spirits, that we would not forget. We would not forget. That we would rejoice in you today for what you have done for us. Thank you, Lord. We just say thank you one more time. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Holy Spirit. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You are good, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We thank you, Father, that your love will work daily in us through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that each day and every day your love works. Praise the Lord.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In Jesus' name. Amen.